Here we go again. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we're talking entrepreneurship. And the best part is my co-host is Walter Sullivan. So if we're talking entrepreneurship with Walter Sullivan, somewhere in the conversation is going to be marijuana. Hi, Walter.
It's called cannabis now. We're professionalized.
Well, I guess I'm showing
my age. We pass medication, not joints.
So, our next guest, thanks to you, Walter, is David Torrisi, Executive Director, Commonwealth Dispensary Association. Wow, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Wow.
David, explain how you got to where you are today. I mean, you have a very interesting background.
Interesting, Walter. Thank you. So I am Executive Director of the CDA, the Commonwealth Dispensary Association. I've been in that role since October of last year, so just a few months. But in a prior life, I was a state representative for the city of Lawrence in the town of North Andover. Born and raised up in the Lawrence, North Andover area. Been a lobbyist for the last 5 years, working with one specific medical marijuana dispensary, looking for a little change, something a little more subject matter intensive when it came to the marijuana cannabis industry, and took the job, like I said, as executive director of the CDA back in October.
Now, you're a former state rep. You're a school committee person in North Andover?
I am up for re-election on March 27th, actually.
Now, how did you balance those? And you have young kids.
I do have young kids. Well, I've always been involved in politics. Many, many years ago, I worked for Congressman Marty Meehan, worked down in D.C., worked up here for him. Ran for selectman when I was in my 20s, became a state rep at 29. Got married late, have two young kids. I have a kindergartner and a first grader. After I got out of the legislature, just wanted to give back and ran for school committee. So still doing it now.
But how did you balance school committee with marijuana?
Well, it's interesting to say the least. Really, I'm not sure how to answer that question, Walter. Just balancing work life and family life and doing the school committee, there's a lot on my plate to say the least.
Now, you are the executive director of the Dispensary Association.
Yes.
Explain what the Dispensary Association does and how it benefits people to join.
Sure. So, as you know, medical marijuana passed in Massachusetts back in 2012. Took a couple of years to get the industry up and running. I was hired by a company called Alternative Therapies Groups, ATG.
The first one to open up,
the
correct?
First one opened up in Salem. They opened up in June of 2015, so literally 2.5 years after the ballot question passed. So I've been involved with the medical marijuana industry for a long, long time, mostly at the local level. Did a little bit of lobbying for them as well, but mostly just working with local officials. I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of the difficulties that I think marijuana establishments need to overcome are at the local level. But, the CDA was formed by Chris Edwards, ATG, and a few other, the first medical marijuana dispensaries. And, right now, out of the 22 dispensaries that are open across the state, we represent 16 of them. So the vast majority of them. And we are obviously still trying to get more members to join. Obviously, the benefits of joining the CDA, and I think what we bring to the table is a group of entrepreneurs who took a chance, spent a lot of their own capital to get up and running. They have the industry experience in Massachusetts. They have, I would say, a lot of the background of the hurdles you have to overcome to get up and running in Massachusetts. So we bring that subject matter expertise to the table, as well as a very effective lobbying effort. Right now, as you know, Walter, I've seen you probably two or three times a week up at the State House.
And we're not doing any marijuana.
I know. At Cannabis Control Commission meetings. Obviously, we're working hard to, try to influence those regulations. The regulations came out last week. I'm sure we'll talk about those to a little bit today. But it's also, it's a trade association, and it's a nascent industry. We're getting up and running, so there's a lot of issues that we're still, coming to grips with.
Now, you mentioned, you truly did have your boots on the ground when you're dealing with local issues. You represented the first marijuana dispensary to open up in Massachusetts. What would you advise people getting into this business? Because it really is a local issue.
The first thing I say is patience. I think people got to remember. Local officials are, by and large, part-time people, and they have other lives going on. So you need to, you know, understand their schedules are different than your schedule. I mean, most entrepreneurs, you know, are go, 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 and they want things done yesterday. A lot of local officials don't operate that way. And you got to go in that mindset that you're in this for the long haul. It's going to take a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of patience. And you know, that's what I would recommend anyone who wants to get started. Just go in there with the right frame of mind that this is not some kind of get-rich scheme that you can just, you know, plop down a bunch of money and get going.
I'm looking at this from the entrepreneurial perspective. Is there a type of person that you know, that when you meet them, you know this is gonna, they're going to be able to handle this? And is there a type of person you know is not going to be able to handle this?
You know something? You know, the members of the CDA that I've met, you know, run the gamut. They are all over the spectrum. You have young entrepreneurs that, you know, are used to that kind of mentality of that they know how to organize a business. They're smart, have MBAs. But there are other people that I think got into this business that, you know, are more methodical and more, you know, hey, I really believe in cannabis. I really believe in the, you know, obviously the medical industry is, you know, people who got in the medical industry have, I think, have a much different mindset than some, I think, of the new players that are going to come into the scene. I think a lot of the first medical dispensary owners had a family member or a friend who was using cannabis for medical purposes and got into it for really, really good reasons. And there's some people like, you know, we have one member, you know, who's it's a father-son member, very small, little dispensary and grow site out in Central Mass that, you know, is probably not the typical, you know, probably not the stereotypical marijuana entrepreneur, I would say.
Now, as you mentioned hurdles. What type of hurdles are you talking about? Other than local is always an issue.
Well, I would say, you know, anyone who wants to get into the business needs to really think long and hard about where they want to site. And they have to find really a willing partner. Walter, as you know, the regs came out last week, and one of the hurdles is, you know, having what they call a host community agreement with a local municipality. So basically, it's pretty much a, like veto authority. You know, the zoning is part of it, and getting, you know, the capital to build out your place, obviously growing the product is one thing, but you need to have a really a willing partner in a local town council, town manager. Obviously, you know, there are some communities that are banning it outright. Some communities have moratoriums. But even the communities that haven't done that, you still need to sign a host community agreement with them that's going to indicate that they want you to be there and, you know, what kind of payment you're going to give the local municipality. Those are probably, say, the biggest hurdle facing any
Now, you've been involved under the medical marijuana law. There was no requirement for a host community agreement. That was created by the communities. And
well, I think the dispensaries were, you know, willing partners in that too, actually.
But so when you look at the host community agreements relative to the original medical marijuana dispensaries mm-hmm. versus the statutory requirement now with up to 3% gross revenues over 5 years, mm-hmm. do you think it's actually a fairer host community agreement, or do you think there's a lot more wiggle room as a result of this?
Well, under the medical marijuana law, as you alluded to, host community agreements were not a requirement, but they basically became a requirement because what was a requirement was what they call the letter of non-opposition, so or letter of support from a community. So you had to have one of those to get a license. Actually, on the first round of licenses, you didn't even need that. The first round of licenses were based on a point system, and you got points for having a letter of support or a letter of non-opposition. But a lot of the communities say, hey, listen, we'll give you this letter of support, but what are you going to do for us? And in some cases, it became like a bidding war between, you know, potential RMDs, registered marijuana dispensaries. You'd go down to, you know, local city council, local board of selectmen, and you'd pitch. You'd pitch your team, what you can deliver. But also, I think what a lot of the selectmen and city councils want to hear is, like, what are you going to give us? I would say the standard was 3%, but I was, you know, involved with ATG and going up against some other groups that were offering up to 6%. And, you know, you really can't compete at that number. I think the people were just throwing those numbers out there because they wanted to get the letter of non-opposition, get the license, and move on. Now, the legislature passed a law last July that mandated that any host community agreement could, the contract could be no longer than 5 years, could be no more than 3% of gross revenue. And they also put in a caveat that any kind of payments had to be justified by the costs associated with having the marijuana establishment there. You know, since then, you know, actually, as you probably know, Walter, the governor has filed a supplemental budget and made some tweaks to the marijuana statute, and has made it clear that these prior host community agreements had to be signed prior to last July, July of 2017. I've come across some potential dispensaries trying to slide in under the medical marijuana and, you know, give the town these huge amount of sums. The governor's bill, if it passes or gets adopted by the legislature, would put the kibosh on that.
So let me ask, that's a good point. I'm sorry.
It's all right, go. Last
that's
question.
A good point. So now with your client in Salem,
My former client in Salem.
Your former client in Salem.
Now that I'm head of the CDA, right, obviously ATG is one of the members of the CDA, right. But I'm, you know, my members, not my clients.
So the host community agreement that medical marijuana dispensaries entered into prior to July of 2017.
That is still good.
Those are still good even if they paid more than 3%.
Yes, they can be. Yeah, I mean, I think if people are smart, they're renegotiating those host community agreements. But, yeah.
You must get a lot of inquiries.
Inquiries from a lot of different people. Well, people call me that want free advice. I know that much. But there's a lot of dispensaries in the pipeline, so to speak. There's, you know, probably 110 RMDs that are, they're still trying to become medical marijuana dispensaries that have what they call a PCR, a provisional certificate of registration. So I'm talking to a lot of those folks right now to try to get them into the CDA, become members, see the value in bringing people with, you know, similar interests together and people that want to see the industry succeed.
David, if somebody wants to find you at the CDA,
yes.
How would they do that?
My email address is very simple, david@cdama.org. And if they're looking to, you know, obviously start a business. One thing I want to make clear is all our members are what we call vertically integrated. So medical marijuana, when that law passed, you had to be vertically integrated. That means you had to grow it, you had to manufacture it, and you had to sell it. So all our members have all those three silos. Going forward, people can choose to be just a cultivator, just to be a manufacturer, right, or just to be a retailer. Yeah.
So will you come back again as this all evolves and keep us informed?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I see Walter, you know, quite frequently, and I think, you know, he does a great job. I'm looking forward
to it. It's always hard to shake Walter Sullivan.
Jeffrey tries.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to thank you for being on the show today. Yeah. We're going to welcome you back again soon.
Sure.
My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm here with Walter Sullivan. We've been speaking with David Tarisi. And we're going to take a break, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs.